Be'ezus Hashem, we're going to be starting by paragraph Hey of Torah Chaf Gimel. Tisha B'Av is already next week. We're in the 9 days. And I wanted to mention a couple of ideas from primarily from Rav Itchy Meyer. There's a couple of shiurim posts in the podcast, actually, that we put over here that I think are a good lead-in for the ideas that we from our Torah to summarize. The ideas that Rav Itchy Meyer discusses is that there's a certain light, as it were, that is accessible by Tisha B'Av. Like in any Mayed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings Shefa to the world, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a way to connect to Him. And there are certain times where, from our perspective, that light is more manifest, is more of a giloy, it's more easily accessible. And there's certain times where it seems, where there is a Hester Panim, and it seems that the light is less accessible. It seems almost that it's a time of darkness, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is limiting the Shefa to the world, and that that there's less of an attachment. And one of the ideas that he discusses is if you take a father's love for a child, there are times when times are good, when the father is giving a reward, when they're sitting at a table, they're singing on Shabbos, things are nice. And there are certain times when the expression of that relationship, whether the child does something that's a danger to himself or others, the kid runs into the street, he's engaging in negative behaviors, when the expression of that relationship is in terms of discipline, it's in terms of din, it's in terms of something that seems to be a distance of the relationship. From the point of view of the mashpia, from the point of view of the father, the love hasn't changed. Sometimes one could argue even that it's a stronger expression of love when the mashpia, when the father has to give out a harsh response. It hurts the father to see the son cry, but he knows that because he loves the child, then there has to be an expression of discipline. There has to be din. There has to be a response to bring the child back around. If he really cares, a lot of people are able to have a good time with people. But if you see somebody engaging in negative behaviors, health wise, ruchnius wise, a person does not necessarily run around to give musr. And truth is, it doesn't always, unfortunately, even bother us if a person would see a child fall. They'll say, oh, they'll run to help him. If all of a sudden the child picks his head up and that child is his child, it's a totally different response, and it hits the parent in the gut. And therefore, one of the things that we understand as we go around the calendar year, we go around the Mayadim, Tisha B'Av is a Moed, we go around the Yomim Tovim, and different life events, the way that we understand things, there is an avoda of Baruch Hashem making simchas, and there's an avoda, Rachman Litzlan, of smachis, of the negative times, and neither one of them is an indication of more or less love, although there are certain times when the expression is a more clear expression of it. And as a person enters into these the 3 weeks and the 9 days and then Tisha B'Av itself, and there's a lot to say about it, our avoda to tap into the R is to understand, it's not a question of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love for us, it's a question of HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving an expression of love, kafi the kli, kafi the response that's needed from us, and us appreciating that and having to dig in sometimes into uncomfortable truths about ourselves, about others. To really tap into HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love, we have to understand the expression of love, and to do that, we have to sometimes look in the mirror and understand why the response is the way it is, and the way that we feel about that, the way that we feel about our parent when the parent does have to give sometimes a hard messaging, and we that doesn't impact at all. We're able to give our father a tight hug instead of being defensive or just ignoring it and having things go on in the background and going about our daily lives. We are able to turn inwards and appreciate the relationship and the depth and the strength of the relationship in this context. Sometimes, again, even more so when people are having a good time, everybody's in a directionally positive mode. Sometimes it's not able, you're not isolating the relationship itself. And when things are hard and when things are not seeming to go well, and we're able to appreciate just like the Nitzchias and the eternal relationship, the B'nai B'chayri Yisrael, that's when you really see when you really see who a parent is. Just one more idea that I actually saw. They put out in English pieces, adaptations. You can find it of Eish Kodesh from the Piazechna. He mentions an idea. It's a longer idea, but Shabbos Shuvah from 5702-1942 by Lefum Tzar Agri says HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in order to give, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give, and in order for us to be able to receive from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then we have to be Daima. We have to make ourselves similar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to appreciate, to be aligned with that at its core HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mashpia, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a creator. In order to us to be able to align ourselves, to bask in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we also have to make ourselves into creators. How do we become a creator? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a mechanism to be able to change the world and to be able to change ourselves. The ultimate way to do that is when we have Bechira, when we have something that's Gashmius, we have something that is seemingly distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or like we're about to discuss by the Torah, we have something that you don't have to say is selfish, but is self-centered. We're at the center of it, and we're able to transform that. We're able to elevate it. We're able to take something and say, yes, this could be used in a self-centered way for our own pleasure, for our own utility, but we are be'etzem a member of Klal Yisrael, Yisrael Arise of a Kodesh Baruch Hu Chadhu. We are here to make a Kiddush Hashem. We're here to bring a Kodesh Baruch Hu into the world. We're able to transform and redefine things in this world as vehicles to bring the Shechina into this world, in terms of the way that we relate to Parnasa, in terms of the way that we relate to physical Taivas and Shmiras Habris, which we're going to say in our Torah. This is something where every time we learn Torah, every time we do mitzvahs, every time we do mitzvahs in Ma'asim Tovim, and this is Pshat Lefum Tzara Agra, if the reward is aligned with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lefum Tzara, Lefum, the pain, the effort that goes into refining it, it's only to that degree that we become a creator, to that, and therefore, that's not just like, you do more effort, you get more reward. It's built into the system, it's built into the reality that HaKadosh Baruch Hu established, that to the extent that we are creators, that we refine, that we effort, that we smooth down the edges, but not just smooth down the edges, that we mamash transform Gashmias into Ruchnias, physical into an expression of godliness. Our role in life as being our role in the army of Hashem, of being Makabel Ol Malch Hashemayim, of making ourselves into a Merkava to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's not self-centered, but rather it's God-centric, and we play a role in that world, the God-given role. And there's no kinetiva covered. We're not trying. It's not about us. We're not trying to take things into our orbit that don't belong there. It says that there's 600,000 letters in the Torah, whatever exactly this means, and every single letter is aligns with one of the neshamas of Klal Yisrael. Any letter, if the hay is attached a little bit, it turns into a ches, or the little part of the bays is rubbed out and it looks like a chaf, then the letter is pasul. Every letter has its own unique contribution, and this is what we have to contribute to the world, what we have to hone and refine and create, and we're able to create an expression that's our job in the world. Like we've mentioned before, I think I heard it b'shem the Lubavitch Rebbe. I think Rav Nachman says something similar as well, that the day that a person was born is the day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said the world wasn't complete without that person. And this is every single second. HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates us every single second that we have a contribution. Otherwise, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not creating the world with extra pieces. There's something that we can add and to complement and create that Shleimus. And therefore, to bring this into the ideas of our Torah, we talked about a person coming close and attaching themselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, attaching themselves to the Ein Sof, and how do we establish a connection between ourselves and between HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaMelech, HaKadosh, totally perfect and seemingly Chas V'Shalom to say even inaccessible, but like we say, for those who say V'Yinlecha, Rabbi Yochanan says, B'chol Mokom Sha'at Ha'Maitzei G'dulasot Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shamat Ha'Maitzei An V'Sanuso, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes himself accessible. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. He runs the world. He's Mechadesh Olam Tomei Maaseh Bereishis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world with Hashgacha Pratis. There's not a blade of grass that doesn't have a Malach telling it to grow. And we have a direct relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Mazel Yisrael. So how do we in fact connect with this, that to become on the level where we can attach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we can achieve even more than Malachim? The question is, like we said a few moments ago, it's working on ourselves. It's making making ourselves into a kli, and not even if you think about a kli as, let's say, a cup that can get filled up, making ourselves into a pipe, allowing HaKadosh Baruch Hu aura to flow through us, to make ourselves into a mashpia, to be mevatel ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ratzon. Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest leader. He was also Anav Mikol Adam, who was Shechina Medabim B'Tech Groinai, and Malchus is Leis Degarmei Klum. How is Yeshua the ultimate Talmud of Moshe Rabbeinu? It says that Moshe Rabbeinu was like the sun and Yeshua was like the moon. We talked about in Terah Aleph, the Klal Yisrael is Doma to the moon. That's totally reflective. How could we totally reflective of a Kodesh Baruch Hu's Malchus and Ratzon to not allow ourselves to get in the way of that role? We'll come back to that in a second. So we started off the Torah lining up the ideas of Panim Dekdusha, of Anpin Nahirin, of light, of Chayim, and we'll see Arichus Yamim, right? When a person, by the way, is attached to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, the example that I've used before is a plug in a wall. If you have a battery, the battery has a certain capacity. The plug doesn't have a capacity. If you take the plug out of the wall, so then the machine, whatever it is, stops operating immediately. But if it's plugged in, it has an infinite amount of capacity. It's plugged into the source. When we plug ourselves into a Kadosh Baruch Hu, so then we're attached to Chayim. We're attached to the source of life itself, and we have Arichus Yamim, not even just in the amount of days, but in the days itself. There is an infinite quality to our association with Chayim, is at least the way that I'm thinking about it. Attachment to Simcha. We talked about Simcha at length in the previous shiurim. Rav Itchi Meyer actually discusses Simcha. We talked about bringing things that are opposites together, but not just together, but things that are opposite, really complementing each other and being aligned towards a common goal. Rav Itchi Meyer discusses also in Bayam Darkecha that the Simcha is when something is mashlim achisaron. We have a hint of Simcha. We get a Shechianu. If, let's say, a person needs a new garment, a person needs a house, a person feels a certain degree of Simcha because there was a need that got filled. The ultimate Simcha, that feeling of Simcha only exists insofar as a person still feels the lack, and therefore they feel the idea of Shlemus. The ultimate expression of Simcha is Navodas Hashem, because we can understand that we are Be'etzem, in a certain sense, Chaser. We're totally reliant on HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything that we have, everything that we do, everything we are, life itself, existence itself is totally in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore, when we have this recognition, our attachment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is ongoing, and the more that we see it, we don't get desensitized. It's actually the opposite. The more of an appreciation that we have for the Shlemus, the more that we're davuk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Simcha in that, even when sometimes the avoda could be, like we said, going into Tisha B'Av, the avoda sometimes is not the most pleasant avoda, but you can have an aspect of Simcha also in that avoda. We've discussed before that Yonah getting the nevuah, how could Yonah get a nevuah when he was in the state of Atzfus? It must be that there was a Simcha. I think we quoted the Gra. I didn't see it inside, but that there could also be, if nevuah is only the Shechina Shara and something mitoch Simcha, how did Yonah Hanavi have the nevuah when he was in a state of depression by the Kikyan? Because a person can have a Simcha in that avoda as well. And on the opposite, when a person is so Panim Dekdusha Chayim Simcha, and we said that these are functions of Emes and Emuna. We talked about how Emes and Emuna go together, bring one to Arichas Yamim. The opposite of this is when a person cuts himself off, as it were, and aligns himself with Elohim Acherim, not the ultimate Elohe Elohim, not the ultimate source, but rather with Sitra Achra, which is lined up with Anpin Chashoichin, Marash Chayra, depression, Avodah Zara, Misa, Atzvus, Sheker. Sheker is temporary as opposed to MS, and this is Mekatzer Yamim. And when we talked about it in the Torah, we focused on Taivas Mamon as being the ultimate expression of Avodah Zarah, of self-centeredness, and the ultimate way to really get in touch with Emunah and Emes and attachment with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Torah went on to align Taivas Mamon and Shmir Sabristic issues. We talked about the idea of Bris and Melach and Tzedakah, the same way that Tzedakah is Mesakin Taivas Mamon and Shmir Sabristic and Abris is misaken the Arayistic issues, the way that we understood, you know, potentially we suggested to align those things, is that bringing Shefa, bringing Parnassa, supporting life, right? I mean, we talk about Hishtadlus and making Parnassa and being able to sustain oneself, but if you think also Parnassa is about growth, it's about a seed being able to grow and flourish and have a Vlad, if you will, from the seed. And therefore, in a certain sense, Parnassa and bringing a neshama into the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving an influx of source of life into the world, both are similar. And the way that we relate to those things, do we relate to the relationship between Ishan and Isha of bringing Hashras Hashchin into the world, of bringing a neshama, of understanding a role and a partnership of bringing godliness into the world, or do we relate to that as self-serving, as fulfilling a taiva? And on the other hand, Parnassa, do we relate to making ourselves into a kli, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us Parnassa so that we can function in the world and have life and have a life of Avodas Hashem? Do we have Masav Matan, business with Emunah, or do we have other challenges, dishonesty in business, Yegiyah, making ourselves overly weary, not having time for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for family, for ourselves? Do we relate to what we make, the money that we make as a result solely of our efforts? Not that our efforts are Hishtadlus and that we do a Chiv of Hishtadlus and HaKadosh Baruch Hu then gives it to us, but rather it's Koichi V'Aitzim Yadi. Are we selfish in terms of whether or not we're willing to give? HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to distribute money, so he gives it to one person who he knows the Parnassa is going to flow through. If a person, the Chavis HaLevavis talks about this, a person has 10 employees, every person, let's say, just to make the math easy, is supposed to have $100,000, or 9 employees. So instead of giving a person $100,000 each, he gives one person $1 million. One person owns the business, and the money flows through this person to the others. This person's role is to be the employer. Does that make him inherently, all of a sudden, I look at you as taking a dollar out of my pocket, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him the privilege of having the role, is having it flow through him? Is a person dissatisfied with what they have? Are they Sameach B'chalkai? These are both, I think, to say, a function both in the realm of taiva, physical taiva, and of taivas mamon, a way that we understand the bringing of the influx of chayim, of shefa, etc., into the world as something that starts and ends with us. It's something that we direct, even when we give tzedakah. It's something that we have bailus over. We get to decide who, how, what, when to distribute. Or alternatively, no, there's his batlus over there. We are in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's army. We have a role. It's not our money, we're a trustee, as it were, over HaKadosh Baruch Hu's accounts, and therefore we don't take it personally, and we relate to it as such. And then lastly, we started talking about the Bechina of Mezuzah, of being Zuz Maves, of putting the Mezuzah, the name Shakai, putting the Mezuzah on the top third of the door, that the doorway represents the way that we think about business. A person should divide his Parnassa into thirds, or his money into thirds, cash, real estate, and business, the top third being business, which business is something that produces, the money that one has invested in business is something that produces, and the mezuzah relating to that third that we talk about, that how we engage in masav and matan biyamuna, and mezuzah aligning with these ideas. Okay, so now we're going to go into paragraph hey. I had another vart that I was going to say about Ruven Gad and Chatzi Menashe, especially last week's parsha was Matas Masei. Mezuzah, by the way, is 65. Each one of the Shiftei Ka represented 26, 2.5 Shvatim. 26 times 2.5 is 65, that they were, so to speak, on the outside of Eretz Yisrael. They were like the mezuzah by the panim of Eretz Yisrael. But okay, anyway, not for now. Just, it lights you up. You want to reference these things because you see just how every aspect of the world of Torah, of the Bria itself, is reflective of these concepts of MS shining through once you're sensitive to them. As we go into paragraph hey, we're now going to take these ideas that we've discussed, short paragraph, we're going to read them through the lens of the pasuk of that we mentioned all the way at the beginning of the Torah, Tzivisa Tzedekei Deisecha Ve'emuna Ma'oid, and then afterwards we're going to go back into the Maimar Chazal of Saba Debei Atuna. Paragraph hey, v'chol ha-mitzvah she'adam oisosam below mamon, mitzvahs that a person does without spending money. But over here we say, she'hainu she'ein roitze la'hafsid mamon b'shvila mitzvah. We're not talking about a mitzvah that just doesn't require money. We're talking about where a person does the mitzvah, it's tzedek, it's righteousness, he's doing what he's supposed to be doing, but he doesn't want to invest. Perhaps he borrows talis and tefillin rather than buying his own, or lulav. He's in a position where he could spend money, and he chooses not to. it's a tsara for him to have to spend the money. The you know, it's interesting. In every transaction, there's a cost and a benefit. We had talked not that long ago. I forget exactly which Gemara it was. I guess in Bava Metzia, in the Gemaras that talked about interest, we were talking about in a transaction, there's always the money in exchange for something. So when there's a money changer, if you're going to exchange smaller bills for larger bills, every transaction is going to have something that's labeled as the money or as the cost in something. Really, you wouldn't otherwise rather spend the money, except for the fact that you need to spend something. When I have money, I could, it's in the potential form, I can end up buying anything I want. I'm going to change it for a particular item because I need that. Perhaps I'm just suggesting, but if it helps us as a way to think about it, when a person does mitzvahs, I know that I have to do mitzvahs, maybe in order to get reward, maybe in order not to get punished, in order to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm a frum person. There's a lot of reasons why a person does mitzvahs. But if a person views the mitzvahs as being the cost, then they want to spend as little as possible in order to get the benefit. And therefore, if a person is going to be able to accomplish the mitzvah without having to expend additional money, and money is not just money, by the way. Well, maybe we'll quote just a short piece from the Bala Tanya afterwards. How does a person get money, especially in an agricultural society? Yigia kapayim, blood, sweat, and tears. Money is effort. Excuse me, that's what it represents. And therefore, I would rather incur as little of a cost as possible in order to get what I want. On the other hand, if I say that when I do a mitzvah, it's a halbasha of Ratzon Hashem, and I'm connecting mamish, I'm executing through my actions, I'm mamish connecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm going to do it b'simcha, I'm going to do it b'tuv levav. The mitzvah itself is the benefit, and therefore I want to do it in the best possible way. There's going to be a range of being yoytze and a way of doing the mitzvah in the best possible way, and I'm not trying to just get within that bracket and meet the bottom of the bar. I'm trying to do it in the best possible way, and it's my pleasure. What else am I going to do with the money, with the cost, something that's otherwise mundane? I'm going to elevate it. I'm going to attribute it to the money, and now we're going to see that I've elevated my actual effort. The time that I spent working on the farm, now that translated into some sort of dollar value, and now when I take that dollar value and I spend it towards a mitzvah, I've mamish elevated and been mekadesh my actual efforts. Perhaps that's one way to be misbehaved and think about it, but in any event, we're going to go back into the idea of Taivas Mamon, which is in line with the idea we just said. Also, what would Taivas Mamon be? That my efforts, the Mamon that I have, which is in the potential form, Mamon is in the potential form ready to be spent. It's not a benefit in and of itself, is something that's self-centered rather than God-centric. It's something that my efforts belong to me, and therefore I want to spend it how I want, not that it's a pleasure. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me the resources in order to plug in. I know that, just to add in parenthetically, one of the things that I've thought in my own life, there are sometimes that a person has a particular expense, might be associated with chinuch, some other realm of mitzvah, of ruchnias, and a person says, I finally saved up a few dollars, and now all of a sudden this came up, I need to pay for extra tutoring, an extra malamed, whatever the case may be. Finally, I thought that I was going to get ahead, and now that I have to spend it. But the person could look at it exactly the other way. I was used to having X dollars. HaKadosh Baruch gave me an opportunity that I can pay for extra tutoring. I could pay for an extra malamed. I have tuition expense, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch gave me the extra unintended money in order to deal with the extra unintended, or is unintended for me, the extra unintended expenses. It's not that this new opportunity is taking away the money I wanted to save. It's that the money that was directed my way was specifically in order to be able to do the mitzvah and not have to have that tzar, because now Baruch Hashem I have the resources. So let's just plug this back in. The kol mitzvah she'adam oitzo some b'loy mamon. Again, Hanushain writes l'hafsim mamon shvil mitzvah. A person's doing the mitzvah, but they want to meet the bottom of the bar. They don't want to incur that expense. Bechina nikra tzedek. This is called tzedek. It's righteousness. He's towing the line. He's doing everything that he has to do. However, taivas mamon, which we said is self-serving, is sitcha achra, represents avodah zarah. It does not allow a person to reach the arpanim, the MS, the emunah. So when a person does the mitzvahs, he's doing what he's supposed to be doing. But in order to reach the arpanim, the MS, in order for the mitzvahs to have a din of, to be within a bechina of emunah, that's only when it comes together with MS. And we explained earlier that MS and emunah go together. If a person has MS without emunah, so that's not emunah. That means that I only acknowledge things that I've verified. That's limited by myself. That's self-centered. That's only things that I understand as MS. Emuna is where I take that and I bridge that gap between me and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, things that I do not understand to be MS. On the other hand, if a person has Emuna without MS, then what is their Emuna? They're maybe giving over the reins on their decision making, but what's the difference between attaching oneself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and attaching oneself to, you know, Chas V'Shalom to say, attaching oneself to a frog? So if you say that it's verified because of one's Rebbeim and because of the Messiris, then that's also validated based on MS. Edus, Messira, giving over based on testimony, Edus establishes a fact. That would be based on MS. But if a person has Emunah without MS, so then that's also something that is lacking. Just mention a similar point, but not exactly. I happen to see an essay from Rav Shimshon Fel Hirsch by Shavasar Batamas. He's coming off a pasuk in Zechariah that the people came to the Navi, and they wanted to know whether they should fast on Shavasar Batamas, on Tisha B'Av, on Tzayim Gedalia, and Asara B'Teves in the times of the second bias. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered the question. It's a pasuk in Zechariah in Perek Ches. And he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered that these fasts will be a source of rejoicing in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, as long as people, MS V'Shalom Ahavu, people love truth and peace. And Rav Shimshon Fel Hirsch related this to the problems that the people had in the times of the first and second bias. I'll just read a couple of lines. It was just very powerful. He says that the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because, I'm just reading from the collected writings. He says the first sanctuary was destroyed because the people of that era loved peace and not truth. The second sanctuary was destroyed because the people of that era loved truth and not peace. And Hashem, the third sanctuary will arise and have permanence only if we love both truth and peace. And he explained if a person values peace, and we're using peace as a loose translation of the word shalom. Shalom is the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They value shalom at the expense of truth. Then the world is not in true balance. It's not that the world is perfectly utilizing all of the systems in a perfect synergy the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it. It's his notion. It's very self-centered. It's his notion of shalom, and this becomes at the expense of MS. I mean, the essay could have been written today. He says truth must. And he's giving a criticism. He says truth must incorporate the concepts of accommodation in order to be abreast of the times. Is this not bartering with what is most sacred? Is this not betrayal and denial of truth, which knows no bargaining or compromise? MS, 2 + 2 = 4. He uses this example. He says that truth is precise and unequivocal. If a person values shalom at the expense of truth, then it's not truth, and really it's not shalom either. And on the other hand, if a person values truth at the expense of shalom, again, shalom is one of the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If a person is, and we can go on, I don't want to give, really inject a lot of this into the shiur, but if a person just lets the entire world burn down on the altar of MS, or maybe righteous indignation, in the name of MS, he just lets the entire system crumble. And there's also Eis Lasli Shem, Eferu Torah Secha. There's certain times that even if a person does feel like they're accurate, then they are accurate in a certain sense, but that's not the right path to go. There has to be this balance. In order for there to be true MS and true shalom, they have to go together. Similarly, over here, MS and Emunah have to travel together, and when a person does not have that MS, so even the mitzvahs that they perform, they're not attaching themselves to the anpin, the hayrin, to the punim, so to speak, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're doing what's statutorily required of them. That's where a person does the Eidoi Secha, the mitzvahs from Tzedek. When the mitzvah is so chaviv to them, they're invested. They're not trying to meet the bottom of the bar. They have his batlus, his kashrus, his kalus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They want to embody, they want to attach themselves to Ratzon Hashem, and they're thrilled. They're invested. It's part of them. Because the Ikar Emunah over here is b'mamon. It's through mamon, which is the opposite of taivas mamon, which we've been going through from the beginning. This, by the way, becomes the pasuk of Chaim Kramer says in note 79, page 32, tzivisa tzedek edoy secha. When one performs a mitzvah without willingly extending himself monetarily, it shows he's attained neither shmiras habris nor emes, which is the ar hapanim. He's not really attaching himself to a kadosh baruch Hu. He's just towing the line. Because his faith is incomplete, he still has a desire for money, which we said is self-centered, instead of allowing the Shekhinah to flow through him, instead of attaching himself to the Arpanim, so that becomes this desire for money, which I think is in line with how we're explaining. However, The end of the pasuk Ve'amunah Ma'od, when one overcomes his greed and is attached to truth, he attains or upon him joy, life, and the mitzvahs he performs are faith. And therefore, finishing the paragraph, Kishem Shaber Tavis Mammon Kanal, when a person breaks the Tavis Mammon and he comes to a Bechin of Emes, Shesham Panim de Kedusha, this is where the Panim of Kedusha are. Vizev Ve'amunah Ma'od, what's Ma'od? Ze Mammon. Kamoshakasu Ve'vachome Odecha, the pasuk says in Shema, Ve'vachome Odecha Ma'idecha refers to Mammon, and that's a proof that ma'od, ve'amunah ma'od, ma'od refers to mammon. This where a person is able to, all of his ma'idecha, with all of his strength, but all of his mammon. I think it works very nicely that his strength translates into mammon when a person does it with yegiyas kapayim. This is where a person is attaching to emes and emuna, which is the opposite of taivas mammon. I'm just going to try to mention quickly, just because it's beautiful. It happens to be, if anybody learns Tanya, and the day is, this is the fourth letter in Igeres HaKadosh, he starts off with a pasuk towards the beginning. L'cha amar libi bakshu fonai. There's two ways to learn the pasuk. Either David HaMelech is as if on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, seek my panim. And he goes on, he says that, no, bakshu fonai, to seek the panimius of the lev. But I'm going to suggest something, if I can, or at least, you know, perhaps it's a way to relate to it. He says, how does a person seek the panimius halev? There's two ways to relate to chitzonius halev, is through being mizbain, and through the intellect that will manifest in certain emotions. But the panemius halev is really even deeper. It supersedes even anything rational. It's tapping into the inner rutzen of the lev. And the Baal HaTanya says, when a person gives tzedakah with his mamayin, a person who doesn't have just all the extra money, he's a little bit tight, he's pressed, so mamish, which I think is beautiful. Another window into the same idea. This is a person who is being mafsid mamon. He's giving from his actual chayim, and specifically if he's giving from the work of his hands, this person is personally invested in making a living, and when he spends that money, he's spending his hard work, he's spending his effort, and it's because a person also employs the full universe, the scope of their emotion, their rutzon in what they do day to day, then a lot of their panemius halev goes into that. And now when they take that and they transform it, okay, we don't look at that he's spending money, he's spending his yegia, he's spending his chayim, v'noisin l'Hashem b'simcha ubetuv levav. At that point, and he goes on, this is where a person spends in mamish besimcho betuv levav. And I think that we could say, he's talking about how to get into the panemius halev, that if a person takes the hard effort, the hard things that they did, even with the panemius halev, and they elevate it through taking that and giving it to tzedakah, but not just because they have to, but besimcho betuv levav, so then they're able to tap into to doing avodah with the panemius halev. But I think that this actually works with the other interpretation of the pasuk also, libi bakshu fanai. Not only a question of getting into the panai, the panemius in the lev, but also bakshu fanai, to seek the panim of Hashem. Perhaps we could say, with the way that Reb Nachman is teaching, what's the panim? The panim is the emes. The panim is the anpin hayrin. When a person does tzedakah, they go against the taivas mamon, which means that they do mitzvahs and they give tzedakah with besimcha betuv levav, with that money, with their actual effort. That's where it's not just tzedek, but rather they're attaching themselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a bechina of MS, of panim, and also their mitzvahs have a quality of bechina of amuna, because they're not begrudging it, they're not holding it back, it's not taivas mamon, they're not being stingy with it, but rather it's besimcha v'tov levav, like we explained earlier. Next paragraph, we're on Lamed Hey Amud Beis, by the way, in the standard print. The next paragraph, we are going to now see these ideas through the lens woven into the Maimar Chazal from Sabe de Be'atuna that we started off with. V'zeh pirush sha'amru Sabe de Be'atuna. This is what the Athenian scholars said to Rabbi Yeshua. Emer lanu mili dechdiva. Tell us something false. So tell us something zebechina sheker bechina savodah zara. Tell us something that's false. Tell us something that's a bechina of avodah zara. K'mo sha'amru chachmein zuchran levracha. Kol ha'machlif b'diburo ki'ilu oyved avodah z'kocha Chavim, somebody who disguises his words, but machlif is to switch. It's somebody who is deceptive. That's associated with Avodah Zarah. I'm just going to read the Rav Chaim Kramer note because I think it'll help us understand. He says that Rashi explains somebody who disguises his words so that they appear truthful and they are not. This is very common among those who do not conduct business dealings faithfully. And it brings a Marshan and Ian Yaakov quote a medrash that emes is the chaysim of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, that truth is the seal, as it were, of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Disguising or changing the seal of God renders the person a Ovid of Avodah Zarah. And so untruth, even in one's daily affairs, is comparable to idolatry. Presented like this, maybe it makes it a little bit easier to understand. You know, one of the hard things, we know that Avodah Zarah is one of the three sins that are Yag Ve'al Yavor. A person would even have to give up their life, whatever the specific halachic parameters are of Shfichas Damim, Gilei Arayis, Avodah Zarah. We just went through a Tisha B'Av. We're talking about why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And when we go through the Sefer over here, we see Taivas Mammon, and we see Shmir's Habris, and Sheker. Now, many things that we say are associated with Avodah Zarah, and unfortunately, many people see those or about themselves who are not necessarily 100% truthful all the time or have Taivas Mammon, and it becomes a little bit difficult to relate to. Are all of these behaviors, what does it mean that they're associated with Avodah Zarah? But if we take a step back and we understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu HaMakom, the ultimate framework, the ultimate context and universe within which everything exists, within which creation exists, within which Chachma exists, we have the Chachma Satayra, everything that we see is through the lens of our own eyes, our experience, and that's even where we are trying to be truthful, but everything is otherwise subjective. The only objective reality, as it were, Haya Haive Viya, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where this comes to define existence itself, and therefore that is the objective reality. That's Emes. That's something that's Nitzchis. That's something that inherently is. And therefore the Chaisma, the signature, the seal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Emes. Something that's intrinsically true is associated with something that is tied to existence itself. Anything that is either true temporarily, right? It's tully, it's contingent on certain circumstances, or it's just totally subjective to the point that it's actually sheker. It's something that's the antithesis. It's something that's opposite, as it were, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what happens? A person wants to present, why would a person lie? And the Shari Tshuva actually talks about different levels of lying, anything from lying for a particular reason to a person that just habitually starts to make up stories or lie even for no reason. This is something that's the opposite from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When a person lies specifically in terms of business, let's say, we've been talking about what's business, what's Parnasa. Parnasa is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bringing Shefa into the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us a way to sustain ourselves, a way to bring Brach into the world, so that we can have life, so that we could do Avodas Hashem. When a person uses sheker to facilitate that, so then who's the source for the shefa? Who's the source of his parnasa? It can't be that if a person is trying to open up a pipeline for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to send shefa into the world, and he's relating to Hashem as the source, and yet he's going to bring that about through deceptive measures, that's anti the rutzen of the source, then who's really in charge of the parnasa? Is it myself? Is it my business partner? Is it other circumstances? It can't be that you're going to do something that is anti-HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and yet you're relating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu being the source and the autonomous source and the decision maker, kivayachal, and I don't want to misstate words, of deciding who's going to get parnasa and how much parnasa and from Rosh Hashanah and throughout the year and tefillah. Therefore, when a person uses deceptive practices, generally speaking, anything outside of the objective truth, whether subjective, but certainly something that's a lie, something that's anti, is essentially presenting something as true, as existence, that's outside the realm of Hamakom. It's outside true existence. So where would it be coming from? It's Avodah Zarah. It's something that's Zarah. It's strange. It's as if there's another source. You're aligning yourself with another. What's that other? That other might be your own subjective, your self-serving. That would be, that's also a hint of Avodah Zarah. Zara, and also through discussing Parnasa, this also is talking about there being a different source, a different Avodah Zara, the God of Parnasa. What's that God of Parnasa? Maybe your God of Parnasa is your boss. Maybe it's your business dealings. Maybe it's the economy or the stock market that's serving, as it were, another source. And therefore, the Saba de Be'atuna said, tell us something, Mile Dechtiva, tell us something about Avodah Zarah. Does Avodah Zarah have substance? And they're referring to, they framed it as Mile Dechtiva, something that's sheker. And there, we see from this Kol Machlef B'Diburo that sheker is associated with Avodah Zarah. And they were asking, does sheker or Avodah Zarah, does it have substance? Can it bring anything into the world? Is it able to provide? Is there anything there? Like we said, existence. Is it associated with any manner of existence itself? V'amr lahem, so Rabbi Shuban Hanani said back, Havilon Kadnaisa V'Yolda. We had a mule that gave birth. Kadnaisa zu pirda. A kadnaisa is a mule. A mule is a pirda in Aramaic. And pirda is a remez to pirud. Pirud is separation. Ze bechinas akum. This is a bechina of avoidas koychavim. When, I think we've mentioned before, I heard, I hope I'm not misquoting it, but Rabbi Avigdor Miller Zatzal said, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to recognize Yichud Hashem, that everything is coming from one source and aligns with Ratzon Hashem, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have created everything where we could see the unity, as it were. Maybe Hashem should have only made green apples. And he responded, I don't know if I've ever heard in a shir, or I think maybe I read in one of the Torah Zavigdor booklets. No, because then people would say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a green apple machine. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the master of green apples. But that's limiting. That doesn't mean that the universe of what's possible is green apples. What really shows a yichud of Hashem, where there seems to be a lot of things that are separate. You know, you plot all of the dots all over the place, seemingly random, seemingly moving in different directions, and when all of a sudden comes Ikvas de Mashiach, and you reflect back, and now you take a step back, and you see that no, the full universe and scope of anything that could ever possibly happen, that was actually all part of one universe, one situation. It seemed to be different priorities, it seemed to be going in different directions, and actually it was all part of one picture, and that is reflective of a yichud. If you think about it differently, maybe think about, like, you know, the solar system, or some other, you know, type of a gyroscope, or even like a kid's mobile, where there's a lot of different things hanging and spinning in different directions, but assume for purposes of this mashal, everything is mamish in perfect balance, so that if even one thing was different, the entire system, which is actually shlemus, and it's completing perfect circles, and it's operating in a perfect circuit, imagine that something was 1 degree off, then the entire system wouldn't just shift a little bit and be a little bit on a diagonal. If you have all different pieces that all seem to be spinning at different speeds, slightly different directions, but because they're all perfectly weighted and balanced and counterbalanced, they all seem to be moving towards, as it were, Ratzon Hashem. But if one of those things was 1 degree off and everything was out of balance, then everything starts taking on their own momentum. This is the difference between a yichud, when we see our world and everybody and every nation and every person, every individual seems to have their own priorities and their own way of understanding what's responsible, what's a source, what gives them parnasa, what gives them happiness. And at this point, the Shekhinah is in Galus. There doesn't seem to be any way to reconcile it into being one unified picture of Malchus Hashem. After the end of days, when we're able to look back and we could see how everything, it was only because of our little slice of vision, our little slice of perspective that seems thing to be disunified, but everything, even though they weren't necessarily willing participants in the system, but everything was actually part of this large choreographed dance to bring about the revelation, the ultimate giloy of Malchus, the ultimate giloy of Ribbono Shel Olam, of Yichud Kodesh Baruch Hu Shechinteh. So that's when it comes together into one unification. However, if we look at what our role is, when we attribute, we instead of being weighted around the center, as it were, we tilt whatever those priorities are. There is Taivas Mammon. We attribute something else as a source to the Parnasa. We talk about our own individual drives, not as being something where we can use it as part of Avodas Hashem and use our Bechira and convert the darkness into light. But all of a sudden, any one of those things becomes its own master. Now you don't have a million different pieces that are all weighted and counterweighted to be part of one system, one gyroscope, something that's perfectly balanced. Now what you have is a million different pieces, because once they're out of balance, then there's total pirud over there. That, therefore, Avodah Zarah is pirud. It's attributing a source. It's throwing the weight off. So again, kednaisa zu pirud. The kednaisa is a mule. A mule in Aramaic is a pirda. It's a bechina of avodas kochavim. The sharia bepiruda, which is remains. It's found in a state of pirud. Kamuva bezayir sharei bechibura. It starts off as though it seems to be something part of a connected system. Vesayim bepiruda. There is a whole kabbalistic explanation over here that yichud kushabrishu ishchinte. That the Zeranpin and the Malchus and the Za and the Nook, rather, the representative, we said, of Emes and Emuna, when those two things come together, when there's a Zivug, then that can create a Shlemus, and that can be Mailid, that can have children. There's a Mashpia and a Makabal. It's part of a closed universe system, and therefore, even though the system of Avodah starts off where those things are not necessarily fully aligned, our Avodah is to bring them into alignment, and therefore, we were able to open up the pipes, we're able to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whereas Avodah Zarah, there's going to be a separation. It's not going to be aligned. It's not going to have Emes and Emuna. We related this before to Taivas Mammon. Again, I don't want to get too into the spiritual physics of the way that it's talking about the period between these things. But suffice it to say that, again, at whatever altitude you're talking about this system, it's reflective of these truths. So Avodah Zarah represents a pirud in the system. V'yold is a bechinas revach. And the idea of yolda, of having having offspring, that is talks about profit. Hamachuna b'shem leida. Profit is also referenced as leida. It's bringing something in. You start off with whatever it is, with money. You have the business partner and the money partner, and they get together, and when they are able to have it so that the whole is greater than the sum of the parts, they're able to profit from a business deal. That's going to be a leida. And therefore, if we're framing this as the Saba de Be'atuna said, can something that represents Sheker, something that represents Avodah Zarah, it's not in line with Ratzon Hashem, it's not a unification of the system, it's not where there's a Zivug and things are creating a Shlemus to be able to be Moilid, something that's otherwise Sheker, is there any substance there? Can it end up producing? And Rabbi Shimon Hanani responded that we had a mule, which would otherwise represent Pirud and Bechina and Avodah Zarah, and something that's Bepirud, and yet it produced, and yet it had a child. Va'amrulo v'chadnaisa miyoldo. Well, wait a second. A mule is incapable of producing. Meaning, Avodah Zarah, which is bepirud, how can Avodah Zarah bring anything into the world? Ki akum el acher is stareis v'lo yavad perin. Akum, Avodah Zarah, el acher, another power, as it were, is stareis, it's sterile, v'lo yavad perin, and it doesn't give off any offspring. Which logically also makes sense, right? If you have something that is we don't say that there is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which represents the truest way of looking at things, and then there's other ways of looking at things. No, there is one unified truth and reality, and then there are, so to speak, negatives, if you will. Sitra Achra is the other side of it. It's something that's found in the shadows. It's warped. It's a misrepresentation of the ultimate truth. But if something is a negative, if you have something that's light, there's substance, there's Ayin Sof, it's something that's producing, it's something that's real. If you have something that's in the shadows, that's just where there's something that's hidden. Something that's hidden doesn't have something. Something that's hidden, it's Sitra Achra, it's in the Chayshech, there's nothing there to produce. It's only blocking what is there. So when you have two things, you have a Mashpi and a Makabel, there could be a Zivig, there could be a Haylada, that can produce, but something that's the Sitra Achra, that's Klipa, that it's the shell. Once the Klipa, you take the peel off the orange, then it just shrivels up and it dies. It doesn't have its own energy, as it were. It's not tapped into not only a source of energy, it's not tapped into the source of energy, and therefore how would it be able to produce? It's impossible. Eishiv lehem heniu milei dechtiva. This is something that's sheker, which is incredibly powerful. Not only is it not powerful, impossible, but this is Hainu Hasheker. In this world, we look around and we oftentimes see people that shouldn't be getting ahead, getting ahead. According to the rules that we just said, how is it possible that anybody operating not in line with Ratzon Hashem, somebody who is operating according to his own set of rules, something that is Avodah Zarah, how could it be that we see Rishayim V'Tovlai? So he says, this is the Mili D'Sheker, this is the Machlef Diburo, this is the deception. It's not just that a person is making a lie and say, can a rock talk? I don't know, whatever you'd say. I'm explaining something that's just totally impossible. No, it's something that's impossible, but it's presenting itself as though it were the truth. Something that's true can be mailed. Something associated with substance, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with MS, lining up MS and Emunah, is able to bring Shef into the world. Now you have something that's out of alignment, and I'm not just making a statement that says, oh, and this thing that's out of alignment, water ran through it, and it's something that's ridiculous. That's one level of sheker, but the mili de sheker over here is it's something that is deceptive. Over here, people are acting in dishonest ways. They're acting through Tivus Mammon, and yet we're going to see four different ways in the Torah that it's as though the person is profiting. That's the feeling, or at least in the short term sense, or this is the way that it presents itself to the outside world, but be'emes really ainam marvichim. There's a very powerful medrash I just want to mention he brings over here in the note, that by Noach the Pasuk says, Mikol achayim, mikol basar shnayim, mikol tavi elateva. Rashi says, l'rabbi shedim, and he brings a medrash from Seicher Tov. What does it mean that l'rabbi shedim came into the teva? I'll just read the medrash. It says, rotza shikrali kanes l'teva. Falsehood wanted to come into the teva. Only things that have a partner are able to come into the teva. Halachu matza pichsa. Sheker went and found the pichsa, depletion. Shu hamamuna al bnei adam lahafchisam ulachaser mamainam. This is the power, we're putting a name on it, depletion, that takes away from a person's shefa. Person doesn't just naturally lose money. There is a force that causes a person to lose. Amrullah, minasvisli, marry me. Amrullah, so she said back, Matitenle, what are you going to give me for Kedushin? Amen, Sibala, how am I going to marry you? Amrullah, koma de marvachna. So Sheker said, deception said, anything that I am able to produce in Sibale, I will give you to give to you. To depletion. Yad nichnasu l'teva. They went into the teva. And the medrash goes on over here. V'hainu damri inshi madim esagel shikra pachsa nazba. Anything that comes about through deception, that it's mesugal, that comes about through sheker, through any sort of dishonest practices, fraudulent practices, that is going to go straight to depletion. And he brings even a taisvis harash on the Torah. A Rishon who brings a medrash, hu shedu shmoi shikra. Okay, and he goes on. But I mean, there's an unbelievable power. Oftentimes we have challenges, whether it's because we see somebody else or maybe in our own realm. And we see mamash the Torah. If you think about it, you understand. You have emunah bitachon. You understand a maimer chazal. As represented, this is the Torah, this is the MS, and it's saying that yes, of course, anything that's outside HaMakom, it's outside reality, it's outside the universe, how could a person possibly go against Ratzon Hashem and expect bracha, expect positivity, expect shefa to come to the world when Hashem is the only source that's Avodah Zarah? But besides, we have a medrash that's mamish on point, and even within the system, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does allow for sheker, he allows for seemingly people to get ahead. So maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you know what, at least for purposes of this world, I'll make it that a person can do their own thing and get ahead, and they're going to end up profiting. Says Chazal that no, actually, that within the system, yes, it could be short term, it could be nidle mehem shemarvichim, but the sheker in the world is partnered with pichsa. Sheker in the world is partnered with depletion. If you want to feed the kayach, maybe it'll even take off more than was profited. But over here it says, if you want, there's a deal between sheker, between deception, and between depletion, and therefore anything by definition, anything something that Sheker produces, and it does produce in the short term. Otherwise, there would be nothing to give. So we're not going to be able to say, we see it in the world, that a person that acts with deception doesn't produce anything. There is something there in the short term, and that is going to feed depletion, which is very powerful. I mean, it's one thing that a person wants more and they don't have, so they want to be moving, so to speak, in the positive direction, and they're not moving towards profit. Over here now, they're associating themselves with negative kaiches. Not only are they not having more profit, a person, why would they want to lie? They want profit that they don't have. But now they're getting on the train, moving in the negative direction. They're getting on the pichsa train. They're associating themselves with this shade called shikra. Very powerful mashal. So now, Rav Shua ben Hanani said, "V'talalei piska b'tzavara," and there was a note that was hanging on its neck. To have masik be abba mea alfei zuzei, that the sons of this pirda, the sons of this mule, should pay back a debt that their father's house owed, that was 100,000 zuz. Be abba zavaydes at lilim. It's a pasuk from Yirmiyah, but we're going to see how it relates to our Torah. A reference to Avoy Dezara as being Bey Abba, as being a father. And Avoy Dezara is referred to as a chayva. So this note, which was a note of indebtedness, is a reference to Avoy Dezara hanging around the neck. Because the pasuk says in Bereishis, it's by the psukim that deal with that talk about Avram and the war with the four kings. And Rashi over there says, Al Shem Avodah Zarah, Vayir Defeim Ad Chayva. Chayva is a reference to Avodah Zarah. Shemach Ras Es HaKol Chaf Chayva. Why is Avodah Zarah referred to as Chayva? Because it creates a debt. Even if a person has mitzvahs Maisim Tayvim, if a person's Avodah Avodah Zarah, he's going to be Chayv Misa. This liability is not going to be removed. V'chol HaMizdabgen Ba, a person who is attached, he's cleaving to Avodah Zarah, which we're saying as Tayvis Mamon, they now have a debt. And we see this, what does it mean? A debt that's not erasable. A person, you're not just going to count off Maisim Tovim, but no, the debt of Avodah Zarah has to be paid back. Over here also, we said, so this idea of Avodah Zarah that we're associating with Tavis Mammon, it creates a debt that has to be paid back. For instance, if a person has $100, Yesh Mana writes a Masayim, he has $100, he wants $200. Now, I guess there's two ways of learning that. You could say he has 100, he wants 200, he wants twice as much. You could say if he has 100, he wants 200 more. He doesn't even have 50% of what he wants. But Eich Sheyeh, if a person has 100, he wants 200, to say, great, you know what, now let's satisfy this desire. I'll give you 300, now you have everything you want. But no, that's true. So it comes out that the more one has, actually the more one is missing. If I have $1, it says I want $2. If I have $10, I want 20. If I have 100, I want. So the more that a person has, and the more that they relate to what they have, not from a point of view of gratitude, not from the point of view of they're not entitled, that they're not owed anything, right? It says Soini Matonis Yechia, a person that's entitled, that's Misa, exactly in line with our Torah. But no, a person who has Akaras HaTov, they're not entitled to anything. They receive things. They have Akaras HaTov. They use it for Avodas Hashem. And we said that relates to Chayas. That relates to energy, being in line with receiving Shefa and life itself from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But a person who relates to what he has from a point of Taivas Mammon, from Avodah Zarah, that actually creates a liability. The more that one has, the more that one's palate becomes wet with Taivas Mammon and having that be fed, the more of a liability that is. The more that now they have to, it takes a lot more effort to make a lot more money and a lot more attention. It's as if this weight is hanging on the neck of a person. The Gemara even says, though, and it says a person should learn before they take on certain burdens. It's rechayim al tzavarav. Once a person has a burden, that is, it's meshabed him. So this person who has the weight of the chayv, of the liability of having to pursue taivas mamon, and the more that one has, the more that one wants, shein mistapik b'mamonim, a person is never going to be mistapik. He's never going to have enough. There's always going to be the and then. And a person thinks that they have enough because from any point in time, if they have 100, they want 200. And they don't think that they want 300. It's not until they have. But this becomes a system that keeps on going. And now, v'loivin mamon me'acherim. We get up every morning, we say Sa'asa li kol tzarki. This is the way the Rabbi Maimon presented it also, or similar, not exactly. He says, Sa'asa li kol tzarki. I believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives me what I need. If I have a job in life, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give me the tools that I need to have that job. If I don't have something, I don't need it. Maybe you could say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to put me in a position where I'm going to daven for it. We've said this before. We think that we daven for what we need. No, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to relate to him through the full range of human emotion and needs, want to ask, HaKaras HaTov, everything. And therefore, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts us in a position where we need something so that we're going to write home to our parents and ask for it. But however it is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give us what we need in order to be able to fulfill our task. And if we try to push that, we've mentioned in other Torahs, one of them maybe was the Torah Chaf, I forget exactly right now, that this is actually one of the big challenges that many of the greatest people fell from, that not that they wanted the wrong thing, but that they pushed for it too quickly. They wanted the right thing at the wrong time. They wanted the right thing, but on their own terms. Now, yes, there is a place where a person has to borrow properly, but over here we're saying that a person... That a person goes and they get access to the money before it was coming to them from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, obviously there's people that need to borrow money and there's halachas about it, but we're speaking in a principled way. Why would a person otherwise borrow money, let's say, if not for their absolute necessities and so forth? Because they want access to money that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has not given them, or not given them yet. Maybe it's for something they don't need, or they don't need it yet, and they want to shift things on their own terms. And therefore, nidma lehem shemishtakim sachar. All of a sudden, they're very liquid. They have a lot of money. This is one deception. One deception is now they're creating a debt. They're creating a liability. Now they're spending money that they don't have. It was bad enough before they had the money. Now they have a big liability on top of what they originally needed. They have to pay it back. V'acher kach meisim balei chayvus. And then if they had money, now their estate is going to owe. It's another deception. It seemed to be that the father was so wealthy. They go through the books, and now it comes out that there was actually nothing there. V'meinim meisim balei chayvus. And even if they don't die in the state of balei chayvus, him chayeim balei chayvus. Their life itself is not a life. They're golden handcuffs, maybe. Right? A person has a very high-paying job, and they take on a mortgage that they can't afford, and vacations that they can't afford, and they have to be like the Joneses, then their life itself is not life. You see them during that little slice of time when maybe they happen to be on vacation, or they're driving a nice car and wearing nice clothing, but it's something, they're on a treadmill. They can't keep up with it. They can't enjoy what they have. They're always focused on either what they don't have, or even worse yet, having to maintain this perception of what they had. It's another sheker. U'matricham etz'atzim v'trachas g'daylais. And now they're staying, they have no time to learn, no time to spend time with their family. Maybe they're even traveling. Maybe they're putting themselves in danger in order to just get this money. That's another deception. They're being matriach themselves. You think that they have a life. Their very life is being put at risk and being drained. For not even a lot of schar necessarily. They just have to keep up in order to service this debt. This Tivus Mammon, they only have to pay back, they only have to reach where it is. And this Rav Maimon speaks out these four different things in note 87 on page 37 of the English version: borrowing a large sum to invest, looking for the big profit if the investment fails, or feeling secure to earn from the fruit of one's own hard work, but then spending very freely and then not seeing where the money went, or earning profits but mortgaging one's entire life and happiness, or making a lot of money but finding out that he worked so hard to the point of even endangering one's life. So these are the things that are sheker. It seems to be that a person has a lot. There's a lot going on. There's a lot moving and trading hands, but the person actually has nothing. Now, why did we say that this note was hanging on the neck, this note of Avodah Zarah? The Marsha says that this wasn't just any note. This was like a will. What's a will? Mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames. It's a mitzvah, as it were, to keep up with the taiva, with the Avodah Zarah. A person, we spoke actually in Torah Aleph, the idea of the Yetzer Hara presenting himself as a mitzvah, but it's something that a person is compelled to do. Ki mitzvah l'kayim divrei ameis. So this avodah zara is misa, and now it's what's a mitzvah? It's something that a person is compelled to do. Zadavar lem kamot tzava me'aviem. It's as if they don't have a choice. They're locked into the rutzen, the last will and testament of the mace. If the father says something, it's something one has to do. If the avodah zara says something, even though it's in the wrong direction, the person has to keep up. They don't have a choice. It's a mitzvah l'kayim divrei ameis. She'ishamu chovosav. They have a debt to pay. They can't just not pay it. And this taivus mammon has created a debt on them. It's just, if it forget the words, just press pause and focus on the imagery of what we're saying of people around you, or of things that we fall into certain behaviors and sentiments ourselves. It's very powerful. This is a tzava. This is a last will and testament. Okay, I would stop here, but I just want to get through the next, if I can, just the next piece, which talks about the other question of the Sabbat Bei Atuna. V'achakach amrulo, and then they asked Rav Shua ben Chananya, milcha kisarcha, kisaria rather, when salt spoils. Now, salt is usually a preservative, but my malchile, what are you going to salt the salt with? What can you preserve the salt with if the salt itself is a preservative? What does it mean in Pnimius? Ki tikun shel taivas mamon, the tikun of the taiva for money, hu tikun bris melech kanal. We already explained at length that the tikun of bris kodesh, of shmiris habris, is what can attach a person to the arpanei melech chayim. It can attach a person to elikus. The kedusha attaches oneself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore a person will be far away from avodah zarah, and avodah zarah is associated with taivas mamon. Vishalu also, so they asked Rabbi Shuman Chananya, let's say you're telling me that the antidote to taivas mamon, we also mentioned staka, by the way, but that the antidote, the rectification of how a person gets out of taivas mamon, is tikun abris. Let's say a person was already misakin his bris im nafal asirchon, if he still falls to taivas mamon, then b'mai tikuno. Rav Chaim Kramer brings that there's different levels of taivas mamon. Maybe we see even tzaddikim that are rachman litzlan fall to the lower version of it, the stinginess, the pettiness, which might not be fully, let's say, stealing or some of the other more severe forms. But how, so if you have a person that was misakin taivas bris, then how are they going to be misakin taivas mamon? V'heishiv lehem, and he answered them, b'silusa d'chadnaisa, with the shilya of a mule, which a mule can't give birth, then there can't be a shilya. We already spoke out in the very first year that shilya in the time of Chazal could be different than we refer to shilya today, whether it's the pouch that within which the fetus rests, or it's something that's alongside the fetus from which it nourishes itself. It seems that over here we're talking about the pouch that a fetus rests in, but the point over here is ki be'emes yesh oy tikun l'taivas mamon. You're asking a question. If the tikun of shmiras habris is going to be the antidote of taivas mamon avodah zarah, now I have a person that already rectified the tikun habris, but yet he still has taivas mamon. What's his next step? So how is he going to be able to address that? And he answers, b'silusa d'chadnaisa, the placenta of the pirud. What does it mean? Or the amniotic sac. Ki be'emes yesho tikun l'taivas mamon, haynu sheyistaka l'shayresh. Look where it came from. Shemisham ba kol ha'mamon v'chol ha'ashpaos. All of the money, all of the shefa comes from a very lofty source. By looking at the high source of mamon, we'll speak this out in a second, that the shefa at that level is unbelievably pure, v'tainug ruchni, and it's actually ruchnius. Meaning, first of all, he brings over here a Yerushalmi that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by Trumas HaMishkan, it says that Rav Meir says HaKadosh Baruch Hu took out a matbea shel eish from under the kisei HaKavod, the same place where it is the sherish of Neshamas Bnei Yisrael, and he said Zeh Yitnu. He showed Moshe Rabbeinu the source for the matbea of eish is coming tachas HaKisei HaKavod, the same place as the sherish of Neshamas of Yisrael, and the Likuta Halachas over here says, Kishemakusha Ashiris Lasharsho Nizbatel Taivas Mamon. When a person understands the Shirish of Mamon, it's going to become Batel. Why? Because the what is Mamon? Mamon is really the physical vehicle, as it were, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu conveys nourishment or a source for nourishment, the way that we're able to nourish our chayas, nourish our energy, nourish our bodies in order that we should serve Hashem. That be'etzem has zero Yetzer Hara, physicality, nothing that's gas about it. Like everything in the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends a spiritual source that ultimately manifests itself in our physical world, and it's something that he gives. What's negative? So at a lower altitude than that, there are spiritual forces. This is part of our challenge. This is part of our Bechira that almost hijack, or they present and they represent themselves as being what Mammon is. And therefore, the way, depending where a person is holding, they now relate to Mammon in a selfish way, in a self-centered way, in something that's representative of Avodah Zarah. But if a person comes to define Mammon as being something that Be'etzem is from the utmost of Kedusha, the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to send Shefa into the world, and this is a person's headspace, they mamish, it's not just that they're fighting negativity, they come to relate to Mammon itself, they look to the source, and they see it as being a Davar Kadosh, it's something that we can literally receive the bounty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu through, then there's no room, the person is operating at a higher altitude, there's no room, just stated differently, for instance, example, we can give many different examples, if a person's father gave them the keys to the car, now all of a sudden they want to take the car, they want to go out with their friends, do bad stuff. But let's say a person understood that this car, whatever their father was giving them, was mamish a reward for doing Avodas Hashem, for learning. It was mamish an expression of the relationship between father and son himself. It was something that was unbelievably tied, intrinsically tied to something that was that was higher than any of the kid wanting to go and use the car for something that was against the father's wishes or money or whatever it is. So the Maimon actually brought in the shir, I don't know if this is a practical thing that we do today as a mental exercise, that if a person, let's say, has Taivas Nashim, if a person comes to relate to that target of their desire and think of them literally as being a neshama, something that's a creation of Hashem, there's no room for the taiva to attach. And therefore, he says over here, if a person is, number one, is work on Shmiras HaBris. Number two, you're saying, what's another exercise? A person who worked on a Shmiras HaBris and now they have at some level a taiva for money, what should they do? They should come to relate and reinforce, look to the source of where it comes from. Vein misav or ein misabe, different girsos. Misav would mean it doesn't thicken, because if we said it doesn't thicken, it doesn't take on gas, something that's more base until later on down below. But or ein misav, he's not going to have that taiva ela lamata. The possibility for desire for money only takes place below. Mihu apesi yaser hena. What kind of a fool is going to turn towards that way of relating to money? Lahashlich tanig ruchni. You have the ability to relate to this gift from Hakadosh Baruch Hu, from your father, and to mamash be lit up by it, to feel the love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving you, and you're going to turn to relate to in such a coarse and a base way, v'likach tainug av, and to take some sort of a more base desire out of it. Why would anybody do that? And if a person does that, then there's going to be no room for the desire. So based on this, first of all, the Be'ibe Anachal, we're answering the question that we asked before. How could it be that a person who has worked on Shmiras HaBris, a person who's a tzaddik, could still have some form of greed, of pettiness? Because a person might have worked on one level of Shmiras HaBris and been saved from one level of Taivas Mammon. But the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have to work towards the Ara Ein Saif. We're working towards the infinite. There's that we can forever get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I guess that for certain types, a person could come to Libi Chalal Bekirbi, a person could come to a full rectification of certain desires, but a person who still has more room to grow in this area, so there is still some degree of Taivas Mammon, the more that they align, associate, look towards, identify with the Shiresh, the more that they're going to get rid of any room, any place where there's where the Taivas Mammon can take hold. This, by the way, Likutei Halachas explains, Chayshe Mishpat Hilchas Maser, is why there is such a strong Taivas Mammon, because Adam, by the way, he doesn't say this, but Adam is Mave, Shar Bar Mave Hever. Adam is Mave, Adam is a seeker, a person always wants to get close to their source. Where there's a distortion in how we relate to that source, part of the source is, if we're going the way that we said before, that by from the Archaim HaKadosh, that the Makom for the Shirish and Shamas of Klal of Bnei Yisrael is the same Makara under the Kisei HaKavod, is the same place where the Matbeah Shel Eish, a person wants to get close to their source, a person's always going to want to attach to the Shefa, to the influx of energy coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, but where somebody is unfortunately holding at a lower degree, they're not associating that taiva, that like inner that inner desire for taivas, for mammon in the appropriate way, in the kedusha and the shefa and the sustenance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but they're relating to it through their desires because they haven't rectified their own shmiras habris. So now there's going to be an insatiable desire for mammon. That's why mammon dafka. We see this this level of desire. You're forever going to, if you're forever going to want to get closer to your source, but you're misidentifying the source, you're never actually going to get closer to there, and that gnawing desire is never going to go away, but you keep on wanting to get there. Avalizois histaklus, in order to be able to look at one source, now that we're saying what's the rectification for somebody that worked at one level of Shmiras Habris, and now he needs to fully expunge that out of himself. How does he do that? He has to associate mammon with the source. You have to have the eyes for that. You have to have the kalim for that. You have to be able to look up to tachas kisei hakavod. A person to be able to do that needs to have a full rectification of shmiras habris, which is bris melach. We spoke about this earlier at length, why bris melach is shmiras habris. How can I look to my source? How can I look to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Mibsari, but from a point of Shmir Sabris, when I'm a sakin the basar, I'm a sakin the guf, so then when I make myself into a kaddish, I can align myself with Kedusha, then I can relate that to my source, I can relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This sounds presented like this, it makes a lot of sense, right? It's very scientific. If I want to be able to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to Ar Pnei HaMelech, then I have to be coming from a place of Kedusha. I have to be able to look through kaddish eyes, from a kaddish body, from to be able to purify my desires so that I'm not just animalistic desires. I am a kadosh, and I relate to my source of kedusha. Shebetchil itzorach l'sakim basar kodesh v'az yuchal l'stakab alakus, and then I can look towards alakus and be affected and impacted and relate to it. Ubishvil zeh ikar atikun shel taivas mammon hu aydei habris. When a person is masakin their brisi, efshir lipal ataivas mammon, then they'll be able to look towards their source, in which case they're going to relate to mammon as not as a taivas mammon, not as something that happens at a lower altitude when the sitra achra gets hold of it, something that's physical sustenance for physical desires and so forth, but it's actually representative of HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving us loving shefa and support directly, and therefore there's nothing to take hold of taivas mammon. A person, it works on kedusha and he relates to Kedusha, and he relates to Taivas Mammon coming through Kedusha, an expression of Kedusha, ki al yidei melach, through Shmiras Bris, Taivas Mammon, chaser Taivas Mammon, falls away, and it becomes batel. Okay, I really wanted to make it to the end of this paragraph, or even where it says, ad kan lashon Rabbeinu, it's not that far in, but I also want to do it justice, and I guess this is a point that's very worthy of chazering in any event, so we're going to stop here, and Emir Tashem, next time, this is where we'll start, we'll sum up, which is a good sum up of ad kan lashon Rabbeinu, and then go into the rest of the Torah.